I guess what I'm talking about is the Benefits Committee and also a legal committee that we're just in the process of starting. That's still okay on the sound?
Yeah.
Yes.
Both of them are critical, I think, at this point. We put out several calls, I think, for people to participate in the Benefits Committee, and we only had 8 people show up. So that means that essentially 6 of us, or maybe less, have carried pretty much the whole show for the last 6 months. And we are fairly exhausted at this point, and we've been completely overwhelmed, kind of put our lives on hold for a bit of that time and canceled vacations and doing everything else. Essentially, we've been playing kind of a reactive role. That the chancellor says we're going to do this and gives it off to us and said, what's your reaction? And done the same thing with the 2 unions, yeah, without very much information. The district hasn't known very much about the plans that they're offering, and I don't think has cared very much, because there's a shiny $12.4 million there that they can save, and that's been, I think, as far as they've delved into what the ramifications are. So the result is it's been kind of our role to try to find out what those ramifications are and then react as we go along. And this is about the first time, I think, that we've been able to stand before you and say we have roughly a handle on what it is we know, and what we don't know is less consequential from here on in terms of what our reactions are. So we need critically to have some additional people be willing to join the Benefits Committee. It's not all work. I think it's a good social situation. It's also a good learning situation. And everybody needs to be pretty much in the same place as far as what we know in order to be able to kind of carry out a reaction. And it's very complex, and many of us are in different situations depending on whether we're in Tier 1 or Tier 2, or whether we have Medicare A and B, or we have A, or we don't have anything related to Medicare, because the consequences affect us differently, and you know where you are in those situations and need to know kind of how you're affected. So we need more people just to kind of be able to sit and talk, as well as kind of divide some of the tasks. Most of, I think, the Benefit Committee collection information is done as far as we need to go. So the next strategy is what we do with it, plans of attack we have. We have been meeting with district trustees before virtually every board meeting for the last 10 years, so we know them fairly well. We've been just there as a sounding board to help them answer questions or get answers in a fairly neutral way. We haven't had our own agenda. We have one now, so at least we know who they are and they know who we are. We've been at all of the district board meetings since September and made comments to those. We've monitored all of the activity in the SEIU and the AFT unions, and we know pretty much where they are. We've provided them a lot of information about the plans that CalPERS is offering, as well as the ones that we currently have, as well as Medicare, trying to bring them up to speed, because their negotiation style and approach has been different than ours in terms of what information they think they need to know. So part of it at this point is kind of pulling together what we know and going at the district with a case against what they're trying to do, and try to have reason and logic and intellect confront them and back them off. So far that hasn't been particularly persuasive, but I think we haven't made the case as well as we can or as extensively as we can. The other part is, obviously, many of you in emails have said, sue the bastards. So consequently, that's a really complex phenomenon. It means what the language is in all of the contracts for the last 48 years, and there's 13 of those, and they roll over pretty consistently. They keep saying again and again and again that retirees in Tier 1 hired before June 30th of 1990 get the same thing that active employees get. Tier 2, between 1990 and 2001 for faculty and 2000 for classified, say that you get Medicare and a Medicare supplement. That has not ever been provided by the district up to this point in time. They've had 30 years to do it, but obviously it takes a while for people in that category to get to a retirement age. So now you're getting there, and they have a cohort, and it's just cost savings, because that's why they went from providing tier one, everything the current actives had, and tier two, something that was cheaper, not too different, but at least cheaper. And so legally, we're in a lot of different places, so it may be difficult to find a class. The language is different for the two groups. The tier one have a pretty good case, we think, to make. The tier two have pretty much been defined up to this point, but it represents a huge change. Because in addition to having Medicare A and B, you continued, if you're retired, to have the full district plan. And all the rest of us, essentially, if we chose to have Medicare, we've had the full district plan. And the two of those together are pretty powerful in terms of medical coverage. CalPERS is going to change that quite dramatically. Additionally, about 455 initially, and now 334 retirees in Tier 1 are part of a settlement, which provided some additional protections and a much more clearly defined promise in terms of what the district said we would get, more clearly and more, I would say, emphatically and more precisely say what we have in terms of exactly the same thing for medical, exactly the same thing for dental, and exactly the same thing that for vision that active employees have. Unfortunately, with CalPERS, that changes dramatically for active employees, changes dramatically for retirees. So the consequence is that we have a lot to sort through in terms of where we stand legally. Courts have made lots of new decisions in the last 20 years in terms of how they see pensions and how they see benefits and what the legal rights on an ongoing basis are. There's legislation that's been passed. So we're going to have to look at the lawyer that we had before and understand exactly what his take is, and maybe look at a couple of other lawyers and some other ideas and explore essentially what the possibilities are there. We're not yet at that point, but we need to be quite immediately into doing it. So the result is we need a large number of you to step forward and volunteer to the Benefits Committee. We need probably a larger number to step forth and participate in the legal committee. Doesn't mean that you're a lawyer, doesn't mean you know anything about the law, doesn't mean you know anything about how all that process goes, but it's going to be, I think, a time of discovery, and we need more people involved in terms of doing that. And we're essentially all in the same boat, so basically we're working together to protect each other. So I'm going to be passing around a couple of forms, one to ask you to sign up for the Benefits Committee, the other to the Legal Committee. Certainly be happy to have you do both, because what comes out of the Benefits Committee is the basis for a large degree of what the Legal Committee is going to be dealing with. So, anyway, I'm kind of begging, because we really haven't had a lot of response up to this time. Those of us who've been doing it do not have the time in the day any longer to keep either acquiring the information or doing it. We can divide a lot of the elements among various people and depend on each other and kind of use a central clearinghouse to find out what we know and then meet together and thrash through what the options are. It's going to be very helpful. So what I'd like to do initially is get these two forms going, and I thank you very much for finding your name on one of them. I guess as John indicated when he first stood up, there have been about 8 or 9 of us now who've been the board for the last 10 years. We've kind of rotated chairs and done the jobs over and over, and I appreciate we retired not to do this stuff, but it's a major part of our life. And so I have also a sign-up sheet here if you're willing to participate in the board, and maybe that will also grow out of participation in either of these two other committees. we look like we're fairly pat at the moment on the board, as you said, that the two jobs that are up, secretary and treasurer, are willing to continue on. But next year, we would like to see a really substantial change in the faces there. And as it was said, and I'm going to pass out some information, we're getting older. And that doesn't mean we aren't vital, but we didn't retire for this. And so we need to share the load a little bit more. So there's one here for benefits, one here to be willing in the future to sign up for the board, and one here for the legal committee. Thanks, Pat.
Thanks and, for all your hard work here.
Yeah.
Thank you. You guys are worth it. That was it. We all came in young, and we had people who are our mentors. When I came in, they were mostly people who had gone through the Depression and had bad times, and they also got through the Second World War, and they didn't have better times, for sure. And they were a generation ahead of us, and they taught us the ropes. And so when we confronted the district for the first time in 2005, when they wanted changes, we're mostly working to help those people who retired on relatively little money compared to where we were, and were a generation older than us. And so the skew of the settlement was to make sure they were going to be okay for the rest of their lives. Now it's us. What I'd like to ask first, how many of you get the information that we send out in the monitor by email? Okay. How many of you get it through regular mail? Okay, email seems to be working well. How many of you have read the monitor that just came out for the winter? Okay, you need to read that if you haven't. It has kind of a general overview of where we are circumstantially, kind of in a historical sense here with CalPERS. How many of you regularly look at the internet site that we have that shares information about where we are currently? And show of hands for that.
The blog.
Actually, we got two things there: both an internet site for general and a blog.
A website.
Website. Okay. How many of you look at the website? Need to find if you're getting this stuff by email, you presumably have the ability to look at the website. And communication is really difficult. There's 725 of us, and we don't even know who each other are. We don't live in the neighborhood, so that's the only way we can keep in touch in terms of what's going on. So you need to be looking at that website, and there's also a blog that's carrying additional information. You need to find out how you can access both of those, because other than a meeting like this or the annual meeting that'll come up on the 11th of March, we don't have any other way to communicate with each other, and we have a very difficult way of going forward. So essentially, again, it makes it more critical that more people participate in these committees so that we are all informed and kind of all on the same page, if you will.